With you. You know, last week we began looking at some of the principles of what it means to live a contagiously generous life. And let me remind you of a couple of the big truths we looked at last week. One was that what you do with what you have is a reflection of your heart. That's one of the things that Jesus talks about as he tells us how we should live in relation to God with the things that we have. He says that where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be as well. What we do with what we have is a reflection of what's going on in our heart. A second principle that we looked at was that we're to give in proportion to what we've been given. And we're going to look at that more in the weeks to come. I think next week is the week we're going to look at that more in depth, but you may remember the passage of Jesus being in the temple and he sat across from where the offerings, the offerings were being brought into the temple and rich people were giving in elaborate ways, and the woman came and she put two coins in, and Jesus says, this woman has given more than anyone else because she gave all that she had. And in other places in Scripture, we see this idea that we're to give generously, but we're also called to give in proportion to what God has entrusted to us, and we'll look more at that next week. This morning, we're going to look at what a generous life looks like. You see, Jesus desires that we not only experience the depths of his generosity, he wants us to become contagiously generous people when it comes to the way we live our lives. And we're going to look at the example of the Corinthian church, specifically in a few verses in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. And as we do so, I believe that we'll discover three additional principles that help us grow in this idea of having a very generous lifestyle that's transferable to other folks, that engages other people in the act of generosity that Christ has called us to. Now, here's a little bit of background to the passage that we'll look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. During this time, it's in the middle of the first century, somewhere between 40 AD and about 55 AD, a big famine broke out or gripped the city of Jerusalem. There was a famine there, and between that time and 70 AD, the experience of life in Jerusalem began to go downhill quickly. The famine kicked in, and then the Romans began to assault the city of Jerusalem, and by 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem was totally destroyed. So this famine was the beginning of the end for Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of Jesus' era. Now, Paul was really concerned about this famine that was affecting the city of Jerusalem because kind of the mother church was there, the place where the church was birthed, the place where Jesus died and rose from the dead, the place where the Holy Spirit came, the place where the church was formed and sent workers out around the Roman world. He was concerned because some of these early believers, the core of the church, was suffering from this famine. And so he calls the churches throughout the Roman Empire to give generously so that the believers in the church in Jerusalem could be well cared for as they were beginning to face difficult persecution in light of all that was happening during that era. Paul received offerings from the Galatian church. He received offerings from the church in Macedonia. And near the end of 1 Corinthians, the last chapter, he says to the Corinthians, we're going to take an offering and I want you to be ready for this. And then in 2 Corinthians, he says, remember when I mentioned that this offering, this gathering of treasure, which is the same word that's used in the passage for money, this treasure is going to be gathered in. Entrusted people will take these gifts to Jerusalem. In verse 6 of chapter 9, he begins to tell them what this will look like as they generously give. Verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, here are some instructions. As you're thinking about giving, Paul says this, each one of you should give what you've decided to give, what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, and you may remember this next phrase from Psalm chapter 12. We looked at it a few weeks ago. Psalm 12, verse 9. As it is written, they have scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, he doesn't say here, he'll enlarge your harvest of possessions, or he'll enlarge your bank account, or you'll get a bigger car or a bigger house. He says, he will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, these folks in Jerusalem, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And in their prayers for their And in their prayers for you, their heart will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, this is a great passage to read over and over and over again, because packed in these verses are principles that help us to become generous givers, generous people as followers of Christ. And we find at least three principles that are here, and let's take a look at them. The first principle is this. It's the principle of generosity, reciprocity. Don't you wish everything rhymed like that so we could remember these principles really well? Reciprocity. When's the last time you've used that word? You get to use it today as you write down, fill in your blanks. This is the principle of generosity, reciprocity. And what that means is contagious generosity results in generous reciprocity. Now, as you live out this contagiously generous life, there are benefits. You'll discover the rewards of selfless giving. Let me give you three verses, three passages that speak of this reward. One is the passage 2 Corinthians 9:6 that I've read. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Then a passage from last week, Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And then Jesus says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Don't you like that kind of reciprocity? That when Jesus gives us blessings, it's not just a loose scoop of blessings. He presses it down, you know, make sure there's room for everything. And even when He fills our cup, there's so much that it runs over. Now, here's the principle that we'll look at in future weeks. This isn't the second principle. I'm going to let you know we're going to look at this in the weeks to come. And it's that when we experience this blessing, God filling our cup, God giving us incredible blessing, God's generosity is a surprise for us to be experienced. And that's important for us to realize, that God's generosity is a surprise for us to experience. It's not a formula for us to exploit. We can't go to these passages that talk about the reciprocity and say, okay, God, I'm going to give $100 and I expect to get $1,000 by week's end. I expect you to do this. It doesn't work that way. When we give, God notices. When we're generous with our resources, whether it's on Sunday morning or the way that we treat our neighbors, God notices And at some point, he'll repay us. And oftentimes, those blessings are total surprises. God's blessing is not a formula for us to exploit. Now, Jesus goes on to say in another passage that one of the ways that you can ensure that this kind of reward will come your way, especially the reward in the afterlife, is to live like me. Jesus, not Tim Heffer. Live like Jesus. And Jesus says in this one place, when you generously bring people together for a banquet, when you have a banquet meal at your house, it would be natural for you to invite maybe politicians or rich people or important people, people of influence, maybe your neighbors or your friends. That's the natural way that you bring people together. Instead, Jesus says, fill your homes with the lame, the crippled, the blind, the forgotten. And in doing so, there will be a reward waiting for you in heaven. In Mark 10, 29, Jesus is at a meal, or Jesus is talking to folks, and he says, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. And then he goes on to give some examples. He says here, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And along with all these great things, this expansion of our family will also receive persecutions. And in the age to come, Jesus promises eternal life. When we sacrificially let go of the things that are most precious to us for the sake of the message of Christ, he promises rewards. You see, through faith in Christ, my family has gone from just a handful of people to over 1 billion people worldwide. One of the blessings that we receive when we place our faith in Christ is that we become part of this global family of followers of Christ. There are very few places you could go in the world and not find family members, people whose faith is in Christ. Now, certainly there are very dark corners of the world, very dark societies, but Jesus' idea, his plan for us, is that we would generously give our lives so that others could be brought into his family, as we see this fulfillment of his promise that our connections will expand greatly through faith in him. You know, this is one of the reasons that our hearts break when our family members around the world suffer loss. I'm reminded of what happened in South Guinea this week. And many of you who are connected on Facebook and are part of our prayer network, you've heard what happened there. Early this week, Reverend Moise Mami and 7 other educators, government workers, entered a village in southern Guinea to help them with Ebola relief. They went in to educate the villagers on how they could remain clean and free from infection from Ebola. And one of the tools that they brought into the community were bottles of bleach that they could use to disinfect areas of the home and to stay safe. Well, there's so much fear in that area of the world about Ebola and so many rumors and misunderstandings that some of the villagers thought that the bottles, instead of being filled with bleach, were filled with the Ebola virus themselves. And riots broke out. And villagers gathered. And they kidnapped 8 of those workers. And they were taken out. And Reverend Mami, who's an Alliance pastor, a leader in the area, a co-founder of the Hope Clinic that provides medical relief to people who otherwise would be without medical care. Those 8 were killed because of their selfless act of giving and living out their relationship with Jesus. Their bodies were found discarded in a septic tank. Now, Reverend Mami is survived by his wife and his grown children. In 2008, he wrote an article for the Alliance Life, a magazine that the Alliance distributes. And the title of the article was, "It Will Cost You Your Life." He had no idea. He had no idea that morning when he got out of bed that by the end of his day, machetes and clubs would take his life, that he would be standing in the presence of Jesus, and that his body would be in a septic tank. I wonder what his reception was like when his eyes opened and he saw Jesus. I wonder what kind of reward his family will receive because their loved one was taken from them in service for the gospel. As you live contagiously generous lives, you will discover the beauty and the reward of selfless living. A second principle that we see in 2 Corinthians 9 is that God provides everything we need to live a contagiously generous life. God provides everything that you need to live a contagiously generous life. You might say, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot and I can't do or give or serve the way that others give. Remember, it's all in proportion to what God has given to you. Each of us has the ability to live a contagiously generous life because God has given us everything. It goes very simply, God has given it to us, we give, and others are equipped and empowered to give as well. It's like this river of mercy. It's like this river of blessing that God allows us to be a part of. He gives, we give, and others then are able to give. God supplies all you need, and this in turn allows others to become contagiously generous. Think about Operation Christmas Child. Donna Ellison spoke of it earlier. This is the time to bring in the boxes, bring in these gifts. And we then send them to Samaritan's Purse, and they give them to international workers, some of whom serve with the Alliance, international workers that we support. And because of your generosity, they are able then to be generous to children in the villages who desperately need to hear about Jesus. God gives you what you need to be contagiously generous. God provides so that we can bless others. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, listen to these three verses, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. He gives us these things not to grow in our wealth, not to grow in our treasure, not to grow in our experience, but to do good works. Now, all of that growth and wealth and possessions, they're not bad if we allow God to use them to impact the world for His kingdom. He blesses so that we can bless others. Then verse 10, now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Jesus enables you through the gifts that He's given to you to grow in your righteousness, to grow in your ability to live like Jesus. And then in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God supplies you so that opportunities will be given to people to be grateful to God. The Holy Spirit has given my family a number of opportunities within the last few months to connect with our neighbors through these principles of generosity. Now, one family that lives in our cul-de-sac, they're getting ready to move, and they've been in the house for a long time, and they're now retired, and so over the years, they've collected a whole lot of stuff. Some of us can relate to that, right? You know, the older we get, the more stuff we have, the more work it's going to be down the road. And so they've been in the process of downsizing and clearing out their stuff. And as they were doing that, they began to stack their stuff up in the driveway, getting ready to go and, you know, take it different places. And at the beginning of the summer, I walked over and I said, hey, you know, why don't we have a garage sale together? I have stuff that I'm ready to get rid of, and you've got a lot of stuff. So over the next few weeks, we talked and we planned and we priced, and on a Saturday early in the summer, we had a great sale. Now, after it was all said and done, they had some really, really nice stuff left over. Really, almost brand new stuff that, for whatever reason, people didn't buy. A lot of great stuff. Well, they had a few options. They could take it to Goodwill. They could take it, to different places. They could take it to the dump. But they knew that I have a number of connections here in the church and in the community, and they said, well, what if we gave it to you and you found homes for all these things? And I said, that would be great. I'm kind of like a junk collector, you know. I love others' generosity so that I can be generous, you know. And so I took a whole bunch of their stuff. And I knew that some folks within our congregation and in the community could use them, and so I began giving away all this stuff, and it's so exciting to give stuff that really doesn't belong to you in the first place. And, you know, say, oh, my neighbors gave this, and you know, so it was so exciting. Well, their house is now on the market, and a couple of weeks ago, they gave me a big trash can. It's a clean trash can full of tools, and they said, we don't need these anymore. Do you think you could find a home for them? And so I was able to be generous with these tools. And they said, once our sale is finally done, we're going to have a whole lot more stuff to give. And as we were dealing with these tools, bringing them over to my house, I said, you guys don't know this, but this summer, throughout the whole year, we're talking about grace, gratitude, and generosity at church. And one of the principles that I see in God's Word is that God provides everything we need to be generous to the people around us. And God has used you to be generous to us so that I can be generous to others and so that folks in our church can be, in turn, generous to other people. And I said, thank you for allowing God to use you in His plan of generosity. And they both had watery eyes as I began talking about God's grace. You see, God provides everything we need to live contagiously generous lives. A third principle that we see is the principle of exponential expression of grace, gratitude, and generosity. Now, this is my week for big words. The word exponential is our word of the week. It's the principle of the exponential expression of grace, gratitude, and generosity. And this principle simply means that contagious generosity results in others seeing God's grace and provides opportunities for them to give thanks to Him. Listen again to how Paul describes this principle. Verse 12. This service, these acts of generosity and giving, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accomplishes your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Can you see in this passage how it works? Can you see in your own experience and in the life of our church how this works? We step into generous giving. We step into this process of having very generous lives. And as we do that, there are visible expressions of God's grace. People can see the gospel. People can see God's grace at work. And as a result, they give thanks. Hearts are changed, and they in turn step into generous giving and generous living. And the cycle continues, and our impact on the world exponentially increases. Through their generosity, the church at Corinth experienced God's provision. There was an opportunity for others to be thankful. They had the opportunity to praise God because they were acting out their beliefs, and they in turn ended up being the recipients, the beneficiaries of God's blessing as others prayed for them. Now all of this, generosity, obedience, blessing, all of it is an act and is a result of God's grace at work in our lives. And that is an incredible gift. Now, if we were to read through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we could look and say, boy, that church in Corinth was really messed up. And they were. They had weaknesses, and there was sin at work in that body. And Paul writes to correct them and says, you know, get rid of the immorality that's going on. God has something far better for you. And in the midst of all of their imperfections, Paul is able to say, God has given you very generous hearts. Now, I know that they lived contagiously generous lives because today we still talk about how generous they were. And it's contagious. Their story recorded in God's Word calls us to greater generosity with the things God has entrusted to us. How will their example, their record in God's Word call you to greater generosity? Let me tell you a story that touches on all three of these principles. The fact that God has given us everything that we need, that He blesses us richly, and there's reward connected to that, and that all of these are an expression of grace, gratitude, and generosity. Let me tell you about what's going on right now at the Black Lake Seeds of Hope Garden. You may remember that a number of years ago, we sent a bunch of seeds to Bosnia, and as a result of that act of generosity that all of you were a part of, it kind of came back here. This is one of the blessings we received back home. Some of our folks said, well, if we can plant gardens in Bosnia, why can't we plant gardens here to help supply the source, our food distribution? We can use the food to help folks in our church with fresh fruits and vegetables. Why can't we do it here? And now a number of Seeds of Hope gardens have sprung up around town. And the Black Lake Seeds of Hope Garden is the largest garden that we have in town. And you may remember that out of a desire to be generous, Dan and Kathy Nielsen transformed their small garden to one that's over 4,000 square feet. And many of you have helped with planting there, spreading fertilizer, which, boy, what a great Saturday that was. Do you remember that? It was kind of a cool spring day and this huge mound of fertilizer, and as we dug, the steam rose. It was great stuff. My nostrils still burn a little bit from that. And for 2 years, a team from Simpson University, they've heard about our generosity and the way that we live our lives at church, and the team has come to be a part of what we're doing, and they helped to plant. Word was sent out to the community, and people outside of our church have come. They've responded. And some time ago, Dan was given a few raspberry starts. He was given these starts to plant in the garden, and he did that. And you know how raspberries are. They began to multiply, and so they were able to dig up these starts and give them away in different places around town. The raspberries that were given to the Nielsens have now been given to others, and there's fruit being produced. You can see how the exponential growth happens, right? Now, all of you are welcome to go to the Seeds of Hope Garden and pick your fill of raspberries. It's there for you. It's what it's there for. Yesterday, Meg and Dan and I picked, how many pints did we get, Meg? At least 10 pints of raspberries in 45 minutes. You know, and we left some. There's still lots there in 45 minutes. While we were picking, the postal worker was driving to the end of their street and turned around and was coming back to deliver mail. And while she drove by, well, let me tell you, a few weeks ago I was there at their garden taking care of their bees. They have beehives as well, which is another ministry that I'll talk about at a different time. But they have bees there, and as she was driving by on that Saturday, she pulled her truck over and she said, "Hey, aren't you that pastor from the church?" "Yeah, I am." And she says, "Yeah, what are you doing?" And I was able to talk to her about what we were doing with the bees and the garden and all that kind of stuff. You see, she remembered that several years ago, our church expressed generosity to her in a very tangible way, and she remembered. Yesterday, when she drove down, I flagged her down and I gave her a pint of strawberries, magical raspberries that transform into strawberries. You've got to see it to believe it. Raspberries. And Dan and Kathy occasionally give her eggs from the Seeds of Hope chickens. And there's this act of generosity that she's receiving. As you live out your generosity, you begin to see that lives are impacted. And people remember. And they see the grace and the mercy of Jesus expressed to them in surprising ways. When we got home, we gave some of our raspberries to some of our other neighbors, and I was able to talk to them about the way that God has provided for us as a church in abundant ways so that we can provide simple acts of love to others. Think about these principles. Generosity, reciprocity. As we live generously, God rewards us generously. As we refresh others, as we water others, we will be refreshed and we will be watered. God provides all we need to be generous. God has given us great opportunities to be generous. Remember who paid for those original raspberry plants? They were a free gift to the Nielsens. They were donated. Freely we've been given, and so freely we give away. And the third principle, contagious generosity results in others seeing God's grace and provides opportunities for them to give thanks to Him. Now, Hidden Creek has a reputation for being very generous. And God receives honor and glory and thanks when we approach people with open hands. Let me tell you another aspect of how God honors generosity. You see, part of the ministry that Dan and Kathy Nielsen have is they make jams and jellies to be distributed at the source, the fruit that's harvested. They spend hours and hours, their own resources, to put these things together, and they're given out to folks that come in our doors on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Now, Kathy was running a little short on fruit, and she put out a message on Facebook not too long ago that she needed a source for apples. Now, you have to follow all this thing, because this is network of generosity that God has established. A number of years ago, Malcolm and Maxine Kirkwood became friends with their chiropractor, who happens to have a number of large, huge apple trees on their property. Now, when Maxine read about this on Facebook, she connected the Nielsens with the chiropractic apple people, who also happened to have a cider press. And so last Saturday, and we announced this, and we announced it in a church last week, last Saturday, a few of us went and we picked maybe a tenth of the apples, a tithe of the apples that were available at this property. And we came home with between 500 and 700 pounds of apples, along with this cider press that we were to borrow. Exponentially generous experiences, right? Last Sunday night, between 25 and 30 folks from our church arrived at the garden for a hot dog and cider pressing party. Now, there's a whole other story about how God provided hot dog buns for us, but I'll save that for another time. I'm going to leave that for my hot dog sermon, which is coming up a little later this year. Now, from 5 o'clock until dark, we were able to press about half of the apples and process those into cider. Gallons of cider was made and sent home immediately with the folks that were there to help. Now, Dan and Kathy were so committed to this process, remember about half the apples are left at this point, that they skipped work the next day and finished off just about the rest of the apples, producing several more gallons of this great nectar. When Kathy went to work on Tuesday, she mentioned to a coworker that she was tired from cranking the cider press and kind of mentioned, you know, I think someday we might buy a press of our own. Maybe we'll do this again next year. It was a lot of fun. The lady said, don't buy one. My daughter has one that's never been used. She'll give it to you. So they picked it up Tuesday night. Now, within a week, they went from having this generous idea to having more fruit than they knew what to do with. God's generosity is a surprise for us to experience. It's not a formula for us to exploit. Through their obedience, you have had the opportunity to experience their generosity. And my guess is that some of you have shared the blessings of last Sunday night, the cider, with people around you. And through that generosity, others have been given the opportunities to be generous. The lady from work and her daughter donating the cider press. You see, it's this cycle of goodness and love and mercy that Jesus invites us to be a part of. Now you might ask, so how does all this play into our strategy as a church to reach seekers and to build believers and strengthen the church locally and around the world? How does this fit into our big mission to win the entire world through the love of Jesus? All of these things that we do selflessly. We do it with no strings attached, so that as we build relational bridges of friendship, when the opportunity comes up, those bridges will be strong enough to bear the weight of truth that is Jesus. These acts of selflessness, no strings attached generosity, provides limitless opportunities for meaningful and genuine relationships that lead to conversations about Jesus. People hear it, they see it, and they want to be a part of it. God has called us to be contagiously generous. Lean into the words of Scripture. Listen closely to the voice of His Spirit. And be generous with what God has entrusted to you. Jesus, we thank You that You have provided everything that we need to live eternally with You. I thank You that salvation is a free gift. It can't be earned. It can't be purchased. Jesus, You give us that free gift in exchange for our faith in You. Lord, help me to hang on, to hold more loosely to the things You've entrusted to me so that I might grow in my generosity. And I pray that my friends before me this morning would be more like You so that the world could see Your sacrificial love. In Jesus' name, amen.